Move your like off to the side. There you go. Try that. Padded Room Radio is back on the air, you silly bastards. My name is Darian. I've been called the carrot of horror podcasting. Miss Monica is in the house. She's been called the zucchini of horror podcasting.
Okay.
And Buddy the Cucumber, also hanging in here. What's going on with you guys? Monica, I understand you had another rough week.
Yeah?
What is it this time?
Oh, it's just, there's just never enough time.
I know, right? Isn't that the worst?
Work is killing me. But that's about it.
That's it? Just work? Work?
Just work.
You realize you're sitting next to Buddy, right?
Yes.
Okay.
He works more than me.
Every single fucking day of his life?
Yes.
Okay, just making
sure. So he's first, I'm second, and you're
third. I don't
do
shit. I don't do a fucking thing. I'll tell you right now.
I split off my task to you.
That's fine. I sit in a car and listen to podcasts most of the day.
God, it's almost like we get off work. We eat a quick dinner and then head out with the dogs and get our workout and walks in. And then you're home by 8 o'clock and it's bedtime.
It's bedtime, dude. Yeah. That's
Fuck.
How I roll. Yeah, that's exactly how I roll. I get home. If I have time, I spend most of my time in this room, either putting out a show or recording another show. I feel like this podcast thing is becoming my own personal prison. Just saying, if anybody, you know, out there is listening or not, I don't know. But... and then if I'm not doing this, then I got to run because I have 500 athletic events to train for. And then maybe I can squeeze in like a game of Ninja Turtles with my kids. But that, other than that, that's it, man. Mm. That's all I got.
Yeah.
It's a motherfucker, dude.
Yeah, and honestly, since I got rid of cable and got a Roku, I don't even watch TV now.
Really?
Isn't that great?
Yeah.
I do. I mean, most of my TV watching is either Bob's Burgers, something for this show, or some other goddamn thing that my son wants to watch. Animated, for sure.
There's not enough time to even do that.
There's not. I'm lucky. If I can't, the only time I get to myself is if I can't sleep at night. And then I'm like, ooh, there's Texas Chainsaws on Shudder. Let me check that out. As I beat myself up trying to get to sleep because I got to be up at 4 in the morning.
Right?
Yep.
Other than that, I'm doing fine. I feel pretty good.
Yeah?
Buddy, what's up with you, big guy? How's the renovation going?
It's going pretty good. The tile on the actual tub is all done. So now we're just waiting on the plumber to come back out and do like all the handles and, you know,
The fixtures
and all that
stuff.
Very
nice. So,
and the molding. The molding's
got to be. Are you guys still like living like nomads in your own house?
Yeah, we still can't go in the bedroom, really.
Ugh.
Yeah, so I just still...
Air mattress.
Air mattress, right?
Lovely.
Wow.
Lovely.
Yeah, there's a couple nights there where they didn't leave till after 9 o'clock at night. I'm like, I gotta go to bed.
Here. Oh,
get the fuck out of here.
I gotta be up at 3:45 in the morning.
Get the fuck out of here.
How?
I'm gonna start putting offensive movies on if you guys don't leave.
No, they'd want to stay.
I have many of them. Don't worry. Well, inmates, we got the usual shit show to get into here. We got horror news, listener mail, all the usual shenanigans. Why don't we kick it off with a little bit of horror news?
Yeah.
Horror news.
Monica, hit us with your best shot, babe.
Okay. So I know you touched on this a little bit.
I touched on a lot of things.
Yeah, I did.
I'm touching on something right now.
So the new Tales from the Hood.
Uh-huh.
So I guess Keith David is going to be replacing Clarence Williams in that.
I could see that.
Yeah.
Yeah. I like Clarence Williams.
He's got to be really old now.
He's got to be like in his... I mean, Keith David's no spring flower
himself. No, he's not.
But when you need like an iconic voice, like black... Yeah. Like just a scary black man, I think that's... I don't think you can do much better than Keith David.
Yeah, he scared me in The Thing.
Yeah,
Childs? He was mean.
He's always mean.
Yeah, so that's what's nice. Happening there. And I guess filming has already wrapped up on that movie.
Oh, wow.
Wow.
That
was
quick. That was fast,
yeah,
right?
It was pretty quick, yeah.
Jesus.
Cool.
I wonder if that means it's going to go straight to video.
Pretty good chance of that, yeah.
I'll still watch it.
Oh, me too.
I'll check it out.
First one.
I'll check it out.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. And Wolf Creek Season 2 is going to hit in October.
Nice.
Very cool.
And Wolf Creek 3 is going to be happening.
Season 3 or the movie?
The movie.
Oh, okay.
Yeah, the movie is going to be happening. Wow. I saw that Wolf Creek 2 is already out on UK, but we don't have access to it yet.
It'll probably hit Shudder in another month or two.
Well, I'm keeping my eyes open.
Season 1's already on Shudder.
Mm-hmm.
So,
yeah.
You have it.
So I've been like checking everywhere.
Ooh. Got her eye on Mick Taylor again.
And this one bummed me out because we just talked about it. So the new Doom movie.
Mm-hmm.
So now I see that it's going to be a B Doom movie.
Oh.
B movie.
Oh.
Yeah, I guess Universal has...
What does that mean exactly?
Well, I guess Universal has another like branch off called Universal 1440.
Okay.
And that's their like B movies go straight there.
Okay.
Low budget films.
Oh, okay.
So that's who's going to be releasing it.
I don't understand why Universal would want to do another Doom movie. The first one sucked. It tanked at the box office.
Mm-hmm.
That's like The Rock's only regret as far in his movie career is doing that movie. So I'm not sure why they would go back to it.
I don't know. I should have talked to them because if I would have told them, put Tom Hardy in this movie.
Okay. Here we go.
There it is.
You're going to have a hit on your hands.
I would watch. I mean, I'm going to watch it. I'll check it out. I'm not afraid to watch another Doom movie.
Yeah, I'll still watch it.
I'm not going to watch that first one again. It was poop.
Yeah, but now that they already told you it's going to be low budget crappy.
It might actually be better that way because that first one was a little too sleek. You know what I mean? Mm-hmm. With all the animatronic guns and the CGI and all that shit.
Okay.
I didn't feel like it was true to the style of the video game.
Of the video game?
Because the video game is all run and gun and guts and blood everywhere. And
right.
Yeah, it wasn't like the video game.
No, I don't think so.
Huh, well, maybe this will be closer then.
I hope so.
I hope so too.
Right on.
And that's all I got.
Buddy.
All right, so you can now pre-order an official replica of the new Halloween mask.
Oh, God.
And it's an exact replica of the mask worn by Michael Myers in Halloween 2018. The company isn't allowed to show pictures of the mask yet.
I was just going to say, how do we know it's an exact replica? If I pre-order this thing and it shows up and it doesn't look anything like the one on TV, then I'm going to be pissed off.
Right. So, they're not allowed to show pictures of the mask until July 23rd, but you can grab one right now for $59.99.
Trick or Treat Studios?
Yes.
I figured
that. And pre-order one today and expect it September, October.
Yeah.
Tremors, A Cold Day in Hell is out today and on Netflix. Michael Gross is back once again as Burt Gummer in director Don Michael Paul's Tremors, A Cold Day in Hell, the sixth installment in the long-running franchise that was released today on DVD and Blu-ray. To our surprise, a new sequel is already on Netflix. And I did check. It actually is on Netflix.
It's already up there?
Yeah.
So, lovely.
So I got a little treat coming here.
Oh, I wonder what immersion therapy is this week.
The Woman star Pollyanna McIntosh is directing the sequel to it called Darlin.
Oh.
Yeah.
Is it written by the same guy? What's his name? Ketchum? Jack Ketchum?
Oh, I don't know.
Okay.
I think I deleted that part of it.
Damn it.
But it's basically found at a Catholic hospital, filthy and ferocious. Feral teenager Darlin is whisked off to a care home run by the bishop and his obedient nuns, where she's to be rehabilitated into a good girl as an example of the miraculous work of the church. But Darlin holds a secret darker than the sins she is threatened with, and she is not traveling alone. The woman who raised her, equally fierce and feral, is ever present in the shadows of Darlin's psyche and is determined to come for her no matter who tries to get in her way.
So am I to assume that Darlin is the woman's daughter? The woman being Pollyanna McIntosh's character from The Woman?
I think it's her.
So it's a prequel to The Woman, yeah?
No, it's like right after the fact.
Well, she wasn't a teenager, though, in The Woman. Otherwise, it would be the girl.
True.
Instead of the one. I don't know. I don't know.
Yeah, well,
that is probably the least attractive you will find Pollyanna McIntosh, despite the fact that she was naked, which I find offensive. If you're going to get naked, you should shave your pits. Just saying.
Right. Yeah, there's a little...
That is not attractive either. I don't know. So that's probably... I don't remember her being pregnant, though. She might have been, though, because that nutsack raped her in his basement.
So it's possible.
Yeah, or his woodshed. But, didn't it end like that? She was washing the baby by the river or something?
It's been a long time since I've seen The Woman.
I could have sworn at the end.
I say a woman every day.
Hey! The end ended with a baby.
Did it?
Did it?
Yeah.
So, okay, maybe this probably is a sequel. Okay. All right.
Cool.
Interesting.
Huh. Well, that's all I got. What do you got?
Hey, let's get into it here. How about... I got some news on the Grudge remake.
Oh, okay.
I'm kind of getting pumped for this. Did you guys ever watch a show on Netflix called GLOW, Glamorous Ladies of Wrestling?
No.
It's actually a pretty good show. I watched the whole first season.
Huh.
It's very 80s, and you know, it's about this loser that's trying to start his own female wrestling promotion in Vegas.
Mm-hmm.
There are a bunch of drug addicts and weirdos and stuff. Mm. Huh. But the star of that show is a young lady by the name of Betty Gilpin. She's just been cast in the Grudge remake, so that's something to look forward to. Looks like Arrow Video is releasing steelbooks for The Reanimator and The Hills Have Eyes.
Okay.
I don't understand the point of the steelbook.
Just collector's item.
I guess so. I don't... It seems to me like a...
I mean, I bought like a couple of those, and it's like... Okay.
Well, they had a big thing at Walmart last Halloween with those steelbook horror movies.
Uh-huh.
What do you? They charge like an extra $6 or $7 for them.
Yeah.
Why? I don't know. In case you have to fight somebody with it at some point.
That's
or...
not a bad idea. You can make like smash like hamburger patties out of them.
Yeah. Or you know, if you need like a shuriken type of a thing.
Oh yeah.
Shwah! Hit you with my steelbook.
That's right.
Looks
never
like
seen it.
It's the same DVD case except it's made out of metal.
Yeah,
which I don't.
It might have a different graphic on it.
It does, but I don't know. I don't get it. I don't understand that. Clips from the new Suspiria remake are showing at CinemaCon and Texas Frightmare. Hmm. According to Twitter and various people involved, people are getting sick while viewing the clips of the new Suspiria movie.
Oh,
aren't they all?
I know. I know what you're thinking. You're thinking publicity bullshit.
Right.
You're probably right. So there. But this is going to star Chloe Grace Moretz, so I'm going to back this. I like that a lot.
Hmm.
I got more Tremors news.
Oh, yeah?
Yeah, it's not good, though.
Oh.
Sci-Fi's Kevin Bacon starring Tremors series has been canceled.
Already?
Before the pilot was even finished filming.
Oh.
Yeah.
Wow.
Budget or what?
I have no idea.
Okay.
Other than they're not interested and they've canceled filming, and that's that. I'm okay with that. I was never going to watch that.
I was.
Yeah?
Yeah.
On Sci-Fi?
I'd check it out.
I would.
It's got my curiosity.
Yeah?
Well, it had my curiosity.
This is how ridiculous, like, I don't want to sound like a Nazi or anything, but this is how ridiculous America is.
Huh.
They'll fucking watch Sharknado.
Right?
Up until Sharknado 20, but they won't watch Tremors, is probably what happened.
See, I would be well over on Tremors than I watched this Sharknado.
I would take another Tremors movie. I have yet to make it through a Sharknado movie. So,
I've seen the first movie, and that's it.
I guess the problem here is that we're making movies based on name recognition.
Terry Reed?
No, like franchise, not Tara Reed. Damn it. like franchise recognition. You know what I mean? Okay. That's why we have another goddamn Halloween movie coming out this year.
Oh, right.
What? Almost 40 years after the first one came mm-hmm. out.
Yeah.
So, I mean, I get it. They want to make money because making money allows them to make more movies. But at the same time, man, why don't you come up with a new idea?
Yeah.
You know, try something new out. See what floats. Conjuring, how about? That thing's going out of control.
Right?
Let's ramp up the Conjuring universe. Mm-hmm. Speaking of which,
whoa,
look at that segue. Looks like we've got another Annabelle movie in the works.
Annabelle 3?
And third Annabelle.
Saw my that. Goodness.
And that one is going to come right after this year's The Nun.
Oh,
so
okay.
It's going to go, it's Conjuring 2. I think there's another Conjuring movie in the works. Nun is up next, then Annabelle.
Conjuring 3 was a Skeleton Key, right?
No, you're thinking of Insidious.
Insidious.
Yeah. Oh, yeah.
And that
was
Insidious 4, actually.
That was 4, yeah.
Mm-hmm.
I would love to see those two come together.
Coming together
they could.
Yeah.
It could.
Oh, yeah.
They're both owned by Blumhouse.
Mm-hmm.
I don't know.
I think eventually it will.
I would love to see that. Mm-hmm. I would love to see, like, an Elise battle the Warrens in a. Well, she's dead. She can't. But anyway.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah, so that is going to be, after The Nun is going to come another Annabelle movie. Who's excited for another Annabelle movie?
Mm.
I'm not all that. No. I'm not. I was happy with the last one just because it was a vast improvement on the first
one.
Mm-hmm.
But if I hadn't seen the first one and I just watched the second one, I would still be like, eh, it's all right.
Yeah.
You know?
They need to make it more scarier.
I'll check it out. I'd like to see some more tie-ins. Bring the nun into the Annabelle thing,
yeah.
Or maybe, I don't know, the witch from the first Conjuring. I don't know. I'll figure something out, man.
I just want something scary.
Right?
Yeah.
Something scary. Yep. Scare us.
We're past that, dude.
That's
we're
true.
Past that. Now it's like, don't scare us. Maybe shock us.
Shock us, yeah.
Maybe...
throw a twist at us.
make me a little queasy with a lot of shaky cam, perhaps?
Mm.
No? Nothing?
I don't know.
Yeah, I don't know.
They're trying to cater to the younger generation
that's what it is.
Scared of everything.
Yeah, that's why we have two Ouija movies.
Right?
Yeah. Yeah, how about that shit? Well, I hold you responsible for that one, Monica. So we got in the horror news.
And the Paranormal Activities.
Well, those were good, though.
Yeah.
Ouija sucked. Let's get ourselves into some listener mail, you maniacs.
Listener mail.
Mm-hmm. We got some emails and some voicemails and some other things. Let's start it off with our old friend, Tony.
Hey, Tony.
Hi,
coming
Tony.
In from Bakersfield, California. Subject line, questions for Darian. Greetings, Padded Room. I haven't been ignoring you. I've just been lurking in the shadows, listening to your conversations. Anyway, I do have a couple trivia questions for Darian. What actor originally split the purchase the rights to The Silence of the Lambs and was set to direct and act in the movie before ultimately pulling out? Huh, what actor? I think it was Jack Nicholson, but I could be wrong about that. Who is the only character from the Omen franchise to appear in multiple movies and be played by the same actor? Oh, that's a fucking good question, man. I think it was... multiple Omen movies and be played by the same actor. I have no idea. I'm not.
Was that like Gregory Peck?
I don't think so. Mm-hmm. I don't think so. I don't remember him showing up in any of the sequels. In the 1931 version, what was the first name of Dr. Frankenstein? Victor. Name six members of the Splat Pack. Six. I didn't know there were six. Okay. You got Rob Zombie, Eli Roth, Ben Wheatley, Adam Wingard, James Wan, and who's that fucking kid that did The Battery? James something. The Battery guy, whatever his goddamn name is. Anybody? No?
Mm-mm.
Nobody? All right, well, there's five for you. Scroll way down for the answers. Okay, great. He drew a bunch. Look at this. He drew a bunch of pictures of cocks. That's pretty impressive. Tony, you put some time and effort into this. I love it. Number one, Gene Hackman was originally supposed to play Jack Crawford. Okay, I was wrong about that. Number two, archaeologist and Antichrist expert Carl Bugenhagen played Leo McKern. I didn't know about that. Number three, Dr. Henry Frankenstein. I could have swore it was Victor. I think it was Victor in the book.
Oh, maybe that's
or maybe I'm thinking of Dr. Doom.
I thought it was Victor in the movies, too.
I thought it was, too. You might be full of shit there, Tony. Number four, Alexandra Aja, Darren Lynn Bousman, Neil Marshall, Greg McLaren, Eli Roth, Robert Rodriguez, James Wan, Lee Winnell, and Rob Zombie. Well, you forgot a few there, Tony. But thanks for writing in anyway, Big Daddy. That's it on the emails. How about a couple of voicemails here?
Yeah.
Let's start it off with the stoned gunslinger of people that call into the podcast, Alan Chacha.
It's me, that D-O-double-G. It's the road dog of people that call into your podcast. So how's everybody doing? Pan's Labyrinth, I love that movie.
Yeah?
It was the first R-rated movie I took my little sister to, because she loves fairy tales.
Nice. Cool.
Bought it for on Blu-ray later. I haven't watched the Blu-ray yet, but I figure it looks amazing.
Sure it does.
It Comes at Night that y'all are covering. You know the goat that played Black Phillip and the witch is supposedly in that. He's
really?
Not Black Phillip, but he's just another goat.
Oh.
Anyway, the other day when y'all played Ghost, I really enjoyed that. That Padded Room versus Hell, that's pretty cool.
Right on.
I don't know who Monica is. Last week I thought she might have been Bones from a Snoop Dogg movie. I couldn't remember all of it. Obviously, I was wrong. And when she's talking about the Scream Queen, for some reason I was thinking Pam Grier because she was in that. I have no idea who she is this week. Anyway, that's all I got. Y'all have a good one. Bye.
Beautiful.
Bye.
Thanks for calling
in, Alan. See who we got up next here. All the way from Milwaukee, it's Steve Ondrasik.
Hey, Steve.
D.
D?
Yeah.
I thought you said Steve.
No, D. From the Horror Hoes,
almost
man.
Steve. Oh, Steve.
There's no horror ho named Steve. I'm going to text her and tell her you called her Steve.
Hey guys, it's Dee. I was in Mexico for a week, I wasn't able to call.
That's
but
okay.
I'm calling now to just say hello, and I missed you, and I'm all caught up.
All right.
And I'm ready to listen tomorrow.
Okay.
It makes work go by so much faster.
Beautiful.
You guys should make an 8-hour show every day of the week.
Hey now.
That would make my day.
That would drive me
have a good
insane.
Night, guys. Bye.
Hey, glad you made it back from Mexico.
Yeah, man. Hope you didn't get diarrhea or anything. I watched a weird... Well, we'll get into that. And what are you looking at? Yeah, I don't, 8 hours with you two? I could maybe do... like
we'd have to take a lot of breaks because you want to squeeze one out.
Well, of course. 5 days a week?
We
forget it.
We could be the Jerry Springer special
oh,
for
yeah.
8 hours.
Just start Woo! Getting random chicks in here. You know,
random interviews.
Yeah.
Yeah.
So you live three doors down. I heard you complaining about my dogs barking. Well, that's all we got on the listener mail today, kids. You guys have anything for Tony, D. Vondrasik, or Alan?
Thanks, everybody.
Yeah, thanks for calling right
yeah,
in.
Yeah, welcome
Absolutely.
Back, Tony.
Absolutely, Tony. We missed you. Mm-hmm. If you guys want to get a hold of us, you know how to do it. The old email is thepaddedroom2011@hotmail.com, or you get us on the mental health hotline at area code 775-387-0275. As of right now, my friends, we are exactly 1 month away from the launch of the new Terror Dome season.
Yes.
Get your picks in now while they're still available.
Mm-hmm.
Otherwise, you're going to be stuck with somebody like Evil Bong. Or
oh, God.
Goddamn Killjoy, for Christ's sakes. Is that what you want? You want Killjoy representing you in the tournament? I don't think so. Let's get ourselves into a movie.
Mm-hmm.
Yes. God damn it.
Just want to talk. I want honest answers. Do you have any idea what's going on out there? trying to help your new family.
Hey, I want to thank you guys for letting us stay here.
Just going to run through a few things. When we go out during the day, we like to stick to groups just for safety. The red door. It's the only way in and out of the house. It stays closed and locked all the time. I have the keys. It's the only set. Most important thing.
What's he see?
It's okay. Just go inside.
We never go out at night.
The door was already open when you got there.
Yeah.
Then who opened it?
I think they're sick.
Where's your mask on? Nobody's sick here.
Can't trust anyone but family.
You don't get it.
How old are you, Travis?
If they're sick, then I am too.
If you're lying to me, I will kill you.
Yeah, we're talking a little It Comes at Night from 2017. This one's written and directed by Trey Edward Schultz. It got 6.2 stars on IMDb. Stars Joel Edgerton, Christopher Abbott, and Carmen Yogo.
Wow, that got 6.2?
6.2 stars on IMDb, this one. Yeah.
Why are you laughing at?
I don't know. I don't know about this one, kids.
Hey, 4.5.
We'll get into that. So we're going to start off with an elderly man, and he is obviously in very poor health. And we don't get any backstory on this. Well, we will in a second. But basically what we're going to see is some people in gas masks saying their last goodbyes to this poor gentleman. And then two men take him out into the woods, shoot him in the face, light him on fire, and then bury him.
Yeah.
Kind of a heart-wrenching scene. Nobody wants to have to put down Grandpa.
Right.
You know? Grandpa may want somebody to put him down.
Yeah, I was waiting for something to, like, pop out of his chest while he was, laying there.
You know? Or have him get back up.
Oh, that'd be
zombie
weird.
Time.
Right.
That'd be all right. But no, he's dead. He's done. He's out of the equation. Now we're going to get to know some idea of what the fuck is going on here. Cut back to these two guys. They go back inside, and what we're going to discover here is that there is some kind of a plague, pandemic, some sort of a outbreak that causes people to die, highly infectious. They break out into weird pustules and... I think there was some allusions to coughing up blood and shit like that.
And their eyes turning all red.
Eyes turning all jacked off.
Kind of like Ebola.
Is that what E. coli does?
No, Ebola.
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 Is that what Ebola looks like?
Mm-hmm.
How do you know?
Didn't you ever see that movie with Dustin Hoffman?
Yeah, but I figured that was just a movie.
No, that's how it really
That's how it really
is.
Goes down?
Yeah, oh, your damn. Eyes bleed and stuff.
Oh, God.
Oh. Yeah.
That's something to look forward to.
Man.
Do you get that from eating bad chicken? Is that it?
I don't know where Ebola comes
You don't want it.
I'll
tell you
she
that.
Won't get it. For you.
Yeah. Bring it. God damn it. You fucking Eastern Europeans.
It comes from Africa.
Oh, okay. Okay. Never mind.
Yeah, Ebola is called the hemorrhage fever.
Hemorrhage fever.
Yes.
Because you just bleed out? Is that
yes.
how it gets you?
Uh-huh.
Does that come out of your, like...
A virus that causes severe bleeding, organ failure, and can lead to death.
Okay, well...
Mm-hmm. Sounds like from a lot of drinking.
Yeah, I mean, I've had other organs fail. That's a whole other story right there. Anyway, so it's very sad, very somber scene here. We're going to get to meet the people inside this house. Now, this is a very big house.
Yeah,
and it's,
it is.
I'd call it a cabin in the woods, but it's like a weird... It's like they built a cabin in the woods, and then they just kept adding on to it and adding on to it. Now there's like it's like a 23-room. It's almost like a compound in a weird way. like stairways that go up to second floor doors and sliding glass things. It's all boarded up now, though, because of this pandemic. Yeah. We got a family living in this cabin. Mom, dad, teenage son. Dad is played by Joel Edgerton. Mm-hmm. You guys remember this guy?
Mm-hmm.
The Thing, mm-hmm. That weird sequel, prequel, I guess. Bright, he played the orc in Bright.
Yeah.
This guy's in the box. Yeah. This guy's a pretty bad motherfucker, man. Mm-hmm. I like him. I don't like this movie, though. But that's, we'll get to that in a second. So it's a very sad scene because we're going to find out that the old man that they just put down out in the woods was actually the wife's father and the kid's grandfather.
Yeah.
Kid's about 17 years old. He's taking it the worst. Wife is, I mean, that's her dad, obviously. She's all broken up. They're all pretty broken up because, you know, his grandpa and they loved him. But now we're going to see that this is a very paranoid state that we're in here because we've got plastic all over the inside of the house. We've got things locked and bolted and double bolted and some very strict rules to live by. Apparently the good news though is that somewhere close to this house or maybe even in the house itself, they still have a fresh water supply.
Mm-hmm.
So that's good news. The bad news is that they're going to run out of food eventually. So you have to look out for that.
Unless you're on Monica's diet.
Yeah, where you just don't eat anything.
Right,
ever.
Just water.
See, I would survive.
Yeah. Oh, yeah. She'd be like, I look great.
I just need a leaf from somewhere once in a while.
This plague thing is really working for me. Look at my tan. Right. There's no line at the mall. I love it. So that's pretty gnarly. You know, it's so... We have to assume that at this point we're in more of a post-apocalyptic situation than an outbreak situation.
Yeah.
So that's good news. This family, however, hasn't had any kind of outside contact in quite some time, so they don't know what the state of the rest of the world is in.
Right.
And that, I think, is something that could have been utilized in the story.
Yes.
But we'll get to that in a minute. So that's pretty gnarly. We're going to cut to that night. Now, something that is a recurring theme in this film is the nightmare sequences that Travis endures because he has a pretty big problem getting a good night's sleep, and the nightmares that he goes through are pretty gnarly. This first one we're going to open up with is basically him breaking out in the pustules, coughing up the blood, sitting up in bed, and then he's like immediately confronted by his already dead grandpa who has like these pitch black, soulless eyes. And then he wakes up in a panic.
Yeah.
And he's okay.
Gnarly.
Yeah. He starts walking around for a minute, and then he hears a bunch of banging on the front door. So he goes and wakes up his dad and his mom, and they get the guns and everything, and they go running down. The front door to this place is actually like an entry room. So there's like the front door that takes you outside. They keep that locked and bolted. But then to get into the house, there's another door at the end of that room. They keep that one locked and bolted, too.
Mm-hmm. We should also mention that they wear the gas mask and all that stuff.
Oh, yeah. Before they even get out of bed, they're all suited up with, like, these impromptu hazmat suits.
Yeah.
Dad has a hunting rifle with a flashlight attached, which seems a bit counterproductive, because if you're hunting, you don't want to... Anyway, I don't know. It's very convenient, I guess, for the story. But they get down there... What is that? Ebola?
Uh-huh. That's some of the sores.
Those look like bugs.
They're like the blood pockets.
Oh, God. Yeah. Get the fuck out of here. Jesus. Don't show us that when we're trying to fucking do a podcast.
Yeah,
I know, but maybe you can wait till we're done. Now I'm all weirded out about Ebola.
Right? Starting into a puscast.
I'm gonna go wash my hands. You guys talk amongst yourselves. So that's pretty nasty. They go down there. There's somebody's banging on the door. Eventually, like, the door gets kicked in. And without thinking, Dad pulls the trigger on the hunting rifle.
Mm-hmm.
Doesn't shoot anybody. Well, I mean, he shoots at somebody. The guy who's trying to break in just kind of hits the ground and then backs away. I guess he didn't hit him the first time, though, so that's good.
Yeah.
Scares the piss out of this dude, though.
Oh, yeah.
The guy's got a shotgun on him. He just throws it on the ground and kind of, you know, puts his hands up like, hey, don't shoot me, don't shoot me. Dad, like, takes him and puts him in the corner and then knocks him out with a butt stroke. We're going to cut to the next morning now. Yeah, I said butt stroke. You fucking immature son of a bitch. So we're going to cut to the next morning. This dude is still unconscious. He's like a younger guy. He looks startlingly like Kit Harington, I thought. We put him in the wheelbarrow and we take him out in the woods and we like strip it, like take his shirt off, tie him to a tree, like with his arms behind his back, and then put a, like gag him, put some duct tape over his mouth, put a hood over him, and then leave him there. And they give him 24 hours. Now, I was under the impression that they were basically feeding this guy to something.
Yeah.
Hence the title, It Comes at Night.
Right?
What? I don't understand. I mean, even having seen the entire movie, I don't understand why they did this.
Okay. I have an idea.
Okay.
I might be wrong, but I think they did it to see if somebody else would go and get him. Because he did say, you know, he was with his wife and child.
Right.
And he didn't believe him.
Right.
So I think he did that, like, okay, well, we'll see if you're really telling the truth. Because, you know, if we set you out there, well, your crew's going to come by and get you out of the tree and all that stuff. You know?
Okay. But
nobody came.
So. That would be, okay. I'm like 75% behind you on this. Uh-huh. The problem is that they want to remain hidden. So having him out there making a bunch of noise like he was would be, you don't want his crew finding out about the house.
Oh, well, I would assume that he thought the crew already knew where the house was. And they just sent one guy in there.
Okay, that would make sense if they were like watching that guy.
Right.
But they weren't. They all went to bed.
Well, the owner wouldn't know that.
That's true. I don't know, man. It seems like a very weird move to make. I got the idea that they were trying to feed him to something, but there was nothing.
Nothing.
And the next morning they wake up. He's still tied to the fucking tree.
Yeah, oh shit, he's still there.
Yeah, and he's still making a bunch of noise. So they go out there, they take the duct tape off his mouth, and like, hey, you know, they put the guy, he's like, hey, I'm going to kill you if you don't tell me exactly what I want to know. And they give him basically the Rick Grimes rundown. Who are you with? Mm-hmm. How many people? Where are they? What are you doing here? Where did you come from? What's going on out there? And the guy's like, look, man, I'm just like you. I'm trying to take care of my family. He said he left his family about 50 miles.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
That
seems awfully far.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
To go on foot.
Yeah.
So I don't know. And the math is a little shaky here, but I kind of got the impression that he wasn't being 100% honest.
Yeah.
He may have just been throwing numbers out there. Says his family is in an abandoned house about 50 miles away. Wife and young son. Good news, they have food. They have like a couple of goats and some chickens, and but they need water.
Mm-hmm.
These guys here, our family, has water, but they're running low on food. So okay. They're like, the guy that's tied to the tree, we're going to meet him. His name is Will. He's like, look, we'll trade straight up. You take me back to my family, I'll give you some food, you give us some water, we'll call it Splitsville from there. You mm-hmm. stay over here, we'll stay over there, we'll pretend we never met. So dad goes back inside and talks to the mom, and the mom is like, well, the humane thing to do would be to get his family, bring them back here. We have water, they have food, we can cohabitate, you know, everything's going to be pretty copacetic.
Bring the goats and chickens.
Yeah, bring it all back here. So, reluctantly, Dad agrees, and he unties Will, gives him his shirt back and stuff, and gets him in the back of his truck, and they go taking off into the country to go to Will's family's abandoned house mm-hmm. setup situation.
Yeah.
He
wanted to make sure they weren't sick,
too. Yeah, he said he was going to spend 3 days with them to make sure they were all on the up and up, and then bring them back there if that was something they were into. So they get on the road. Where do you suppose this story took place?
The woods.
Well, I got that, but like, I could have swore I saw like Texas license plates.
Oh, I didn't even look.
I didn't pay attention.
Yeah, either. I don't know. I could be wrong. Anyway, it's all woods from there. It could be Texas, Oregon, Washington. I don't know. They get like not even a couple miles away from the house. Will's in the back of the truck. Somebody shoots out the tires of one of the truck. They go careening off the road and smash into a tree, and then somebody basically opens fire on them.
Woodstock, New York.
Wow, New York, huh?
Yeah. I wouldn't have guessed that.
I wouldn't have got upstate New York, but all right, that makes sense, I suppose. He jumps under the truck and then returns fire. He shoots one old guy that comes out from behind a tree. And then once that guy's down, he gets out from underneath the truck and he sees Will pummeling the shit out of some other guy a couple feet away.
Yeah.
So Will's kicking the shit out of this dude, and then Joel Edgerton comes up and shoots that guy too. Will immediately is like, dude, you didn't have to shoot him. We could have got some information out of him. Mm-hmm. And he's like, ah, we should probably just shoot him. It's, you know, what are you going to do? He was shooting at us. They're probably going to kill us, so we should probably kill them first.
Right.
So that's cool. They change a tire, and then we cut to, I don't know, a couple, five, six, maybe a week later. They're bringing Will's family back to the compound. Get to meet Will's family.
And the goats and chickens.
With the goats and chickens, livestock, of course. Get to meet Will's family. He's got a cute little boy named Andrew and his wife, Kim, mm-hmm. who's, you could do a lot worse in a post-apocalyptic right? situation. So that's pretty cool. They had kind of a white trash vibe to him, but I think everybody would have a white trash vibe to him in a post-apocalyptic situation.
You know who that girl was.
Who was that?
That was Elvis Presley's granddaughter.
Is it really?
Oh, wow.
She's pretty hot. I like her. I'd like to see her like in a dolled up kind of a situation, or maybe
she's actually cute when she's dolled up.
She was pretty cute in this mm-hmm. movie. I'd like to see her in a bikini, though.
Yeah,
that's the dividing line.
That's the qualification.
That's what I need to see before I make a final ruling on Elvis Presley's granddaughter. All right, so they get her back to the house. Right off the bat, you can see that Travis is kind of giving Kim the eye a little bit. He's 17 years old. What do you expect? She's the only female he's seen that's not his mom, probably in quite some time. So, you know, there's that. We also find out that Travis has a weird way of spying on people in the house.
Mm-hmm.
The bedroom that they set up Kim and Andrew and Will in has like a crawl space above it or some kind of a walk-in closet. And Travis likes to like sneak up there after lights are out and listen to their conversations. Mm-hmm. I'm pretty sure he was beaten off in there too. I probably would be. That'd probably be my beat off closet. He's up there listening to them and they're like having cutesy conversations and stuff. It's pretty good. From here, we're going to get a nice little, families growing together montage. We get to see like Will showing Travis how to chop wood, and Travis pulling out some of his toys and giving them to Andrew, and Kim and Mom like having girl talk over a cup of tea and stuff like that. It's very nice. Now we're gonna get into, I don't know, maybe 2-3 weeks later. Everybody's together and we're all having fun. Unfortunately, at one point, Travis's dog Stanley gets out. Well, he doesn't get out. He just kind of freaks out about mm-hmm. something in the woods while they're all, you know, hunting and gathering and such. Stanley takes off, and Travis goes hauling ass after him. Will goes hauling ass after Travis. Stanley is gone. We hear him barking off in the distance, and then he just stops barking. Now, that's all well and good, but the problem here is that Stanley was originally Grandpa's dog, and Travis has a very strong connection to Stanley. Mm-hmm. So Travis is like, he was over there, we gotta go get him. And Dad's like, dude, I'm sorry, no. But Will's there too, and he's like, there was something going on over there in that general direction, we should probably check it out. He's like, no, everybody inside right now. So they all go inside, thinking maybe it's another group of survivors or what. Still a possibility of it being out there. There could be an it.
Could be.
I would love there to be a werewolf in this equation. Or so that maybe the thing from the ritual. If that guy showed up, that would be badass. But regardless, dog is no longer part of the... Oh, wow. That's her?
Mm-hmm.
What movie is that from?
I have no idea.
I don't know, but I'm interested. I am interested in Elvis Presley's granddaughter.
Oh, she played in Lucky Logan.
Oh, yeah?
Yeah.
Buddy just showed us a very slutty picture of Elvis Presley's granddaughter.
And she was in that Mad Max, too.
Which Mad Max?
The new one.
Oh, she was the fire muff.
Yeah.
From Morton Joe's wives.
Mm-hmm.
Yes. Very cool. Okay, so that's interesting. Dog's gone. Cut to that night. We get another nightmare sequence. This time, horny Travis is about to have a wet dream regarding Kim, but instead of having sex with him, she spits a bunch of blood in his mouth, and that's gross. So he wakes up in another cold sweat, panic, probably got a boner, too. And he runs down. He hears another like banging around downstairs, so he runs down there, gets Dad, Dad runs down into that entry room way, and somehow Stanley has gotten back into the entry room way. I think there was a broken window, wasn't there? Or was he out? Was he outside of the house?
The door was open.
The front door.
Yeah.
That goes into.
Mm-hmm.
Okay. So he goes in there and he sees that Stanley's all fucked up.
Mm-hmm.
Now, I don't know what I saw, but it looked to me like something had mauled the dog. Is that what you guys got?
Yeah. Oh, yeah.
So, okay.
Yeah.
It didn't really seem to have the pustules on it.
Mm-mm.
It looked like somebody took a bite out of it or something.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Okay. So what is it? What is it?
Right?
There should be an it in this equation. Okay, I don't know. But Dad goes out there and he sees Stanley all fucked up first. And he's like, Travis, don't come in here. So Travis is like, what? It's Stanley. I know it's. He's like, hey, I'm going to be the asshole in this equation. And I'm going to tell you not to go outside of this fucking room. Yes, it is Stanley. And he's very sick. Mm-hmm. So as now the sun is rising. So Will comes down. Dad and Will take Stanley out and presumably shoot him and bury him or burn him or whatever. I don't know. But I don't know, man. Now you're kind of fucking with my emotions because it looks like there's some kind of a predator involved here.
You started thinking, oh, it's going to get good.
There's
now
a fucking vampire in these woods,
right?
Or something.
Or a troll.
A troll? I'll take a troll. maybe some kind of a goblin thing. Uh-huh. Maybe Joel Edgerton is turning into the orc at night. And but he's not a cop yet. I don't know.
Hmm.
This is a prequel to Bright somehow. I don't know. I'm talking out of my ass. Anyway, so now, like, paranoia is starting to set in, and I think if we're gonna examine this film on a psychological basis, I think this is the point where Joel Edgerton's character starts to kind of raise an eyebrow at Will and his family.
Yeah,
because I think he's getting the idea that there may actually be other people out there. They may have followed Will back. They might be part of Will's posse or something like that. I don't know.
And if it's locked from the inside.
Yeah, everything's always locked and bolted from the inside. All the windows are barred and boarded up and all that shit.
So how did it get unlocked?
What the fuck is going on here, buddy? Mm-hmm. I don't know. It's crazy. I don't know what's happening. So now we're going to cut. Now tension is starting to rise between the two families. Will is pretty pissed off at the old man about the Stanley thing and not being able to see the dog. Now we're going to cut to that night.
And I get that because, I mean, he's 17. He's old enough to, you know, take a look at it. He's not 12.
He helped put his grandpa down.
Right?
He can do that, but he can't handle the dog.
Can't do the dog, yeah.
I know. I'd be pissed.
I mean, yeah, dude. I get that. I totally do. But so now we're going to cut to a little drink. Will and Joel Edgerton are having a drink that night. Basically, to make a long story short, we see a couple of inconsistencies in Will's story. Nothing major. Really, the only thing that pops out is that when Will was first tied up to the tree, Joel Edgerton asked him like where he was staying and where he stayed before that, and he said he was staying with his brother for a while, and then after his brother died, he moved him and his family to that abandoned house.
Right.
In the midst of this drinking conversation, Will admits to being an only child.
I didn't even catch that.
Bum bum bum. Mm-hmm. And then Joel Edgerton's like, wait a minute, you said you were staying at your brother's place. And he's like, oh, yeah, no, not my brother. It was Kim's brother, but he's kind of like a brother to me, too. I've always just called him my brother.
Hmm.
And then Joel Edgerton's like, hey, I don't know about this guy all of a sudden.
Yeah.
All right, so now we're going to get another nightmare sequence from Travis. It involves pustules and bleeding things, and it's really disgusting. He wakes up in another cold sweat. This time takes his usual walk around the house. I think that nightmare had something to do with him like walking out in the woods and finding his dad's rifle, and then like what? Oh, the house was on fire or something like that.
Yeah,
I don't remember. Wakes up. Now he sees Andrew laying like underneath outside of Will and Kim's room. He's like laying in the living room sleepwalking. So that's pretty weird. He like goes and gets Andrew, takes him back into Kim and Will's room,
right.
Lays him. He climbs right back into bed. Everything's fine. As Travis is going back to his room, one of the windows breaks and there's a bunch of bumping around inside that that first room, that entry room. Mm-hmm. He goes and gets his dad, wakes him up. Everybody puts their gas masks on and shit, goes running down there, opens the entryway. There's nothing there, but the window is broken, and something, there's like stuff that's been shoved around and stuff.
Mm-hmm.
Okay, now paranoia 2.0 just set in.
Yep.
Okay, so here's the problem. Number one, the door that goes from that entry room into the house was already open when Travis got there.
Mm-hmm.
Okay, how did that door get open?
Right.
Travis didn't unlock it. He had no business unlocking it. And I think
I don't even know if he'd know how to unlock it.
Well, I think there was some mention of Joel Edgerton having the only key to that.
Yeah.
And when he's mm-hmm. not wearing it, he gives it to his wife.
Right.
So there's no way that door could be unlocked. Okay, so that's a bit of an issue. Number two, if you're kind of paying attention, Andrew's starting to cough a little bit.
Mm-hmm.
And he's starting to, I mean, he's not like visibly ill, but there is a possibility
almost
there.
Almost like he's catching a cold.
Yeah, there is a possibility there. And in case we haven't figured it out yet, Joel Edgerton and his wife are not fucking around with this sickness at all.
Right.
So they'll probably shoot everybody and burn them all down
mm-hmm.
as if they even think he's might possibly be sick. So that's pretty gnarly. Sun rises. We have another like family meeting there in the fucking dining room, and basically what we're trying to figure out is how that door got unlocked. We're thinking maybe Andrew is a sleepwalker and he got up and unlocked the door,
mm-hmm.
but he doesn't remember doing it, and they can't figure it out. They're all pointing fingers at each other.
Yeah, a lot of finger pointing.
Yes, and then eventually Joel Edgerton, being the voice of reason, he's like, okay. Let's just all calm down. You guys go to your room. Stay in there for a couple of days just to be on the safe side. Mm-hmm. We're going to do the same. And, you know, we're just going to separate for a couple of days, let everybody's tempers cool, and that's just how it's going to be. Okay, yeah. Fair enough. So they separate. They go to their separate rooms. Night falls. Well, they're supposed to go to their separate rooms, but Travis decides he's going to take himself a little stroll up to his spank shanty above Kim and Will's room, and he overhears them talking about leaving. Oh shit, now we have a problem. So he goes and tells his dad, and we have like another little family crisis situation. Well, what are we going to do? We can't let them leave. We have to let them leave. They know where we are.
Well,
they
he
know
also
who we
said
are.
That I think their son is sick.
There is that mm-hmm. possibility too, because he overheard Andrew coughing and hacking down there. That's another fucking problem.
Mm-hmm.
So Joel Edgerton's like, you know what? I'm just going to go check on him, but I'm going to take my rifle too
and put on
my all my hazmat shit.
Yeah.
So he goes and knocks on the door, and they're like, we're not decent right now. I come back later. And he's like, just let me take a look at Andrew. I want to make sure he's okay. Like, hold on there for a second there, Billy. And then Will opens the door and immediately puts a gun to Joel Edgerton's face.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
Where did he get the gun?
Oh, shit. That's another problem.
Mm-hmm.
That's another problem. So he basically, Will is being, I want to say, like, Will is probably the good guy in the entirety of this equation. He's like, he's got the gun to Joel Edgerton's face. He's leading him downstairs. He's like, look, we're just going to leave. Okay. We're going to take a little food, a little water. We're going to be on our way. You'll never see or hear from us again. Just what's fair. No problemo.
Mm-hmm.
And Joel's like, okay, but his wife is just behind him in the hall. She grabs a hunting rifle and points it at Will.
Mm-hmm.
Now we got the old Mexican standoff here, buddy.
Yeah.
You put the gun down. No, I'm going to put the gun down. All right, on the count of three, we're both going to put our guns down. And then they do the 1, 2, 3, and then instead of, you know, talking about it, Joel turns around and jumps on Will. Mm-hmm. Gets the gun away from him. Big struggle. Will and his family get outside. I think Joel tries to tackle Will, but Will like rolls him over, starts pummeling the shit out of Will, like hitting him in the face with a rock. Unfortunately, Joel's wife shoots Will, and then Kim and Andrew, she's like carrying Andrew. They go hauling ass off into the woods, but then Joel picks up the rifle. And shoots at him, hits Andrew, not Kim. They both go down. Kim is screaming, oh my God, you killed my son, you shot my son. And then he shoots her too. And now they're
well,
she
all. She asked for it too.
Yeah,
just shoot me.
Yeah, I probably would too.
Yeah, I mean, you just lost both of them.
Yeah, go ahead. This fucking planet sucks all of a sudden. So yeah,
yeah.
It's not like I'm going to set up a fucking Tinder profile. You know, think I'm clean.
Swipe right.
Swipe right if you do not have pustules. So that's pretty gnarly. Yeah, dude, he just went from hero of the day to complete asshole. Yeah, big time. But now we have another problem because
and Travis is just hanging out there.
Travis is just hanging there. When he found Andrew asleep in the living room, he held his hand and walked him into the bedroom. So whatever Andrew had, Travis now has.
Mm.
Yeah.
Apparently, this thing is like transmissible via touch. Mm-hmm. I guess airborne. I don't know. But Travis is also sick now. And now we're just going to kind of cut like to another nightmare sequence and then cut to, I guess, a day or two later. Travis is now riddled with pustules and coughing up blood, and he's laying in bed. And then some more like hazy dream sequences, and then cut to Joel and his wife downstairs. They're both sicker than shit, coughing up blood, and that's pretty much the end of your movie.
Karma.
Yeah. Fucking jerks.
Well, the dad wasn't sick.
You don't think so?
No.
I thought he looked a little sick there at the end.
No, I knew. No, the mom was sick.
Yeah, I gathered
and
that.
And he kind of gave her that look like, I'm going to have to fucking shoot you.
I thought, what do you think, buddy? Was the dad sick too or no?
I couldn't tell,
But he did just take a pretty good ass beating too.
Yeah.
So it may have just been like his black eyes and nose and shit.
Which I was still shocked he even got up with a gun to shoot, because I'm yeah, like, man. Hey, dude, he was pretty much out for the count.
Yeah. I don't think he's getting
up.
I don't think so. I don't think so, mister. I don't know, man. I don't know about this one.
That's an English teacher I wouldn't want.
Yeah, fuck that guy.
Or a historian teacher, whatever.
Jesus, fuck that guy.
It kind of gave me a Cabin Fever feel.
A little bit.
Yeah, I think I have a better ending for this movie, a bigger kick in the nuts, would be if Travis got sick, they went back and forth about who's going to shoot him and who's not going to shoot him, and then at the end his body fights off the infection and he gets up and walks away. It wouldn't that be a motherfucker? You didn't have to kill your grandpa, you pricks, or any of these people. If you would have given them a minute, then they would have been just fine. But no, you're all trigger happy with the gasoline and shit.
I agree with the dad. I wouldn't even have let those people in to begin with.
I probably wouldn't have.
Yeah.
Not contaminating my family.
No, I would have worked out the trade, and maybe we could be like future trade partners.
I don't know if I would
have
gotten that
far. Oh, no, I wouldn't have.
I mean,
I'd probably just shoot them.
I don't think I would have shot him.
Oh, I would have. If the world comes to
do
this.
Do not
kind,
go to Monica's place.
Yeah, don't come near me or you will get killed.
Yeah, I agree, because, I mean, it's just like, oh, you know where I am.
That's true. That is true. You got to keep your family safe.
Yeah. This also kind of reminded me of that other movie we watched. The dude that kind of had the mohawk and the daughter and mother team show up to his little cabin.
Oh, The Survivalist.
Yeah.
Yeah.
It kind of reminded me of that,
without all
too.
The beating off into houseplants.
Mm-hmm.
Other than that, it was a pretty good show. I don't know, man. I'm a little disappointed. I think it's a good show. I think it was... I feel like I was misled.
Yeah,
a little
me
bit.
Too.
I think this could have been better titled, because that kind of fucked me up a little bit. Depressing. Kind of felt like I mentioned to Buddy before the show that it kind of felt like a throwaway episode of The Walking Dead.
Yeah,
very depressing. minus the zombies, obviously. Monica, you like this one?
I like this.
What do you like about this one?
Because you don't know what's going on. You don't know who's out there.
Right.
You just have to survive. There's no trusting anybody.
Right.
There's no beginning and there's no ending. That's what I like about it.
I actually like that about it. I like the microcosm of a bigger picture.
Mm-hmm.
But at the same time, I feel like it's almost like the Neon Demon in a way. You know what I mean?
No. No, it is
I mean, it had my interest because I kept expecting it to go somewhere else.
Yeah, but especially because of the title. It comes at night. Yeah. Oh, what is it?
The neon demon. There's a demon in this movie. Right? No, there's not. It's just a bunch of modeling drama. Yeah. I don't know, man. I think it's fine. I'm not furious at it. I just wish it was called something else. And I would still like to know what got a hold of Stanley and how he got back into the house. I mean, we can write a lot of this off to Andrew sleepwalking and leaving doors open when he shouldn't have. And here's another good question. How the fuck did Andrew get sick?
That's what I was just thinking. He had to have been outside.
Yeah. What is he out there high-fiving sick dudes in the middle of the night? I don't know. How did he get sick?
Right. Yeah, he got sick from somewhere.
And he couldn't have been sick at when they first came back to the
Maybe
house.
Maybe he took a bite out of the dog.
Oh, God.
Wow. Wow.
In a sleepwalk. That's that's what happened.
He is some kind of a gremlin or something. Yuck. All right, inmates. We're going to take us a little break here. We'll come back with some other stuff.
G'day, mate. Welcome to Australia, home of baby-eating dingoes, 100 different animals ready to kill you, Mick Taylor, Mick Dundee, and 20 other guys called Mick. Oh, and the dumbest bloke on planet Earth.
I'm Ben, and I'm here to learn about horror films.
But fear not, I've come to help this poor special needs kid as I make him sit down and watch some of the greatest and not-so-greatest horror films out there in our podcast, Horror for Dummies.
Hooray!
So join us every week on the Padded Room Network as we talk about horror films, old and new, and listen to some favourite tracks while we spray some spiders. So the question stands, where the bloody hell are ya?
So jump onto your kangaroo and hop on over to the Padded Room Network.
Catch a new episode of Horror for Dummies every Friday or whenever the hell Darian Brock likes to put them out.
Hey, you. Do you like the Tales from the Crypt series? Do you like spooky things in general? Then check out the Good Evening Kitties podcast. That's Good Evening Kitties podcast. GOODEVENINGKIDDIES podcast. Each week, I'll review a new episode from the TV series The Tales from the Crypt. Find me on Podbay, Podbean, or iTunes. That's the Good Evening Kitties podcast. Check it out today.
Hey inmates, if you like what you hear, head over to the Padded Room Facebook group and support us through the patron link with a small monthly donation. Check out the T-Villain link at paddedroom.podbean.com and grab some t-shirts. Thanks for listening and enjoy the rest of the show.
And we are back.
Mm-hmm.
Monica, do you mean to tell me you would not let me into your house if I was, not if I was sick, but if there was like a disease spreading around, mm-hmm. and even though I wasn't sick and I didn't appear to be sick, could I get into the Monica house?
Oh,
well if we know each other, I mean, that's kind of
different. It's different then. Well, and I know you're not sick. You can come in.
I know, but what if I'm just like, I'm not sick, but, you know, I know you have a lot of like vegetable compote. I might be coming to take your vegetable compote.
Well, we would let you in, but we would quarantine you to make sure you're not sick.
All right.
And then if you're sick, well, we're going to have to end your misery.
What if I'm just having like an allergic reaction? I'm allergic to everything, by the way.
We'll give you a week.
A week?
A week.
I'm like, oh, I'm fine. Yeah. You just have fucking cats.
I don't have cats, so there.
Well, that's good. That's good to know. Alrighty. Are you guys ready for a Padded Room Trivia Challenge?
I'm ready.
Yep.
I'm ready.
Mm-hmm.
All right.
Padded Room Trivia Challenge.
Who's up first?
This time you are.
All right. Name three of Universal Studios' movie monsters.
That's easy. Frankenstein, Dracula, the Invisible Man.
Mm-hmm.
No, the Mummy?
Every time I bring up the Mummy, I get jumped.
Well, when you say it like that, I know it's the black and white Mummy we're talking about. Yes.
It might not be the one he's thinking about, though.
Well,
absolutely not.
Well, shut it down now. Okay.
Easy.
Name three horror movies about revenge.
How about I Spit on Your Grave,
mm-hmm.
American Mary, and Carrie.
Oh, well, you got two out of three.
Okay. What was the
Last House on the Left.
Oh, yeah. That was pretty, yeah.
Yeah. A Telephone, A Rustling Sack, and Needles, 1999.
Ooh, Audition.
Yes.
Ting, 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 ting.
I haven't seen that
you
one yet.
You haven't seen Audition?
Not yet.
Takashi Miike at his finest.
Who directed Castle Freak, 1995?
Stuart Gordon?
Yes.
Yes.
Wow. In what year was The Howling released?
I want to say 83?
That's what I was thinking.
83.
Is that your final answer?
Probably not.
81.
81! Motherfuck.
Oh. I got it confused there. I was thinking of Silver Bullet.
Oh.
Yeah. Way off.
Yeah. Well, I think that was 84, wasn't it? I don't know.
I don't know. What year was it, buddy? No.
I'm terrible at dates.
How many people does Freddy kill in A Nightmare on Elm Street 4, 1988?
Oh, that's the... Of, that's... Okay. Four, so you had Kristen, Kincaid, Joey, all carried over from the third movie. There's three. You also had Alan and then Sam. I'm going to say seven. Six.
Six.
Damn it.
I can't believe you remembered all of that.
Yeah. That's not one of my favorite movies.
Silver Bullet was 1985.
85!
All right. The War of the Worlds, 1953, takes place in what U.S. city?
Ooh. I want to say it's Northern California. San Francisco?
Los Angeles.
I thought it was Northern California. Damn it. All right. Well, I was close.
Huh. Okay. Donald Sutherland and Julie Christie played John and Laura Baxter in what 1973 Nicholas Rogue film?
Oh, God. Oh, I was just talking to somebody about Facebook. Don't open. No. Don't look. Don't look out the window. Don't look. It's don't. They go to Italy and then the fucking daughter. Don't. Just don't. I think it's called just don't. Just don't.
Don't you it's don't, forget
don't
about
look,
me.
It's not don't look out the window. It's don't. It's don't something.
Don't look now.
Don't look now. Fucking fuck. God damn it. I should get a half a point for that.
What Buffy the Vampire Slayer.
Oh, fuck yourself.
What Buffy the Vampire Slayer alum had to fight a family of cannibalistic mountain people in Wrong Turn 2003?
Eliza Dushku?
Yep.
Okay. I know nothing about fucking Buffy the Vampire. I just know Wrong Turn.
A scientist devises a way to render himself invisible, but the process also alters the mind and turns him into a dangerous maniac in this 1933 film.
1933?
Film.
The Invisible Man.
Yes.
I was going to say Hollow Man with Kevin Bacon.
Oh,
it's
yeah.
Pretty much the same movie.
Mm-hmm. Real good movie, though.
Yeah Hollow Man.
Rona Mitra naked in that one. I enjoy that. Whatever. Is she still acting? We haven't seen anything from her in a while.
What's her name?
Rona Mitra. She was in Rise of the Lycans and some other movies. Very attractive young lady. Is that it?
That's yep. it.
Oh, not to, what did I drop two this time?
Four.
What?
Four. Get
the fuck out of here.
Or 3.5.
I think so, yeah. All righty. If you have any trivia questions for me, inmates, you know how to find us. The Padded Room 2011 at hotmail.com or the Mental Health Hotline at area code 775-387-0275. While you're pondering that, we'd like to tell you what we've been looking at this week.
What are you looking at?
Just as you guys were rolling in today, I finished a movie called Angst from 1983. It's about a psycho killer that gets released from prison in Germany and then immediately goes and breaks into a family's house and starts terrorizing them. Very, look at the guy that played the psycho killer, man. He had it down.
Oh, yeah?
He just had a psycho killer face to him.
Wow.
You can find this one on Shudder right now, inmates. It's in their Too Extreme collection or category or whatever they call that. Also watched Asylum of Darkness from 2017. This is kind of weird. It's a so basically a mental patient escapes, and then as he's escaping, he happens upon a car accident, and basically just takes the dude's ID and assumes his identity. Now I'm okay with that part. The part that doesn't make sense is how everybody in that guy's life just accepts.
That he's him?
The mental patient as that dude, whom he looks nothing like at all.
God, that sounds familiar.
You've probably seen it. It's not very good. it gets interesting, but like his boss doesn't realize that that's not him. His wife doesn't realize that that's not him. They're all like, you know, there's something different about you. I'm a completely different person. That's what it is. It's not him. It's me. Anyway.
Kind of comedy-esque.
No, I think they were going for some kind of a cerebral thing, but eventually the mental patient's psychosis catches up with him, and he ends up getting shot by the police.
All right, then.
Yeah, it's not very good. Bite from 2015. This one, actually, I thought was pretty good.
Okay.
This chick goes on her bachelorette party to South America.
You seen this one? I like this one.
This one's not bad.
Yeah.
It kind of reminded me of Contracted, but in a weird... instead of turning into a zombie, she turns into like a... insect kind of a
something
thing. She starts like she gets holes all over and starts hatching like
larvae
and stuff.
This is one I've wanted to see. I haven't seen yet.
It's pretty good. It's you got the Roku. It's on Shout Factory TV.
Okay.
You can watch it there.
I'll watch it again.
It's pretty good. It's a pretty good show. Like I said, it reminded me a lot of what do you call there? Contracted, just with a lot more insecty discussion. It doesn't take as long to get into the metamorphosis.
Nice.
Because like in Contracted, she spent the whole movie just getting sicker and sicker and sicker.
Right.
This one, about the halfway point, you're like, you're not even human anymore, sweet pea. Mm-hmm. And you just killed your mother-in-law, and now you're using her as some kind of a hatchery. So well done with that.
Awesome.
Other than that, I watched Texas Chainsaw Massacre, 1974. Watched this on Shudder. They have like a restored version of it. Yeah, much cleaner, much sharper. Looks like a real movie instead of something that the dude shot in his backyard.
Mm-hmm.
Wow. Okay.
So that might be something to think about. Other than that, that's all I'm looking at, Monica. How about you?
Well, it was a... I'll start with this one. Infidelity in Suburbia.
Okay.
Don't watch this.
Is this a documentary?
No, it's an actual movie.
Oh, okay. I thought you were talking about your last weekend.
Yeah, you should just watch this by yourself.
Yeah. Oh. I don't need the wife watching this one.
Yeah. This movie, I can't believe I got suckered into just sitting there and like torturing myself. It's Julia Stiles' new movie called Cry of the Owl.
Is this a horror movie or?
I don't know what kind of movie this was.
Oh, no. Wow.
This guy is peeping around her house at night. She lives in the woods. He's watching her. She comes outside and is like, hey, you're watching me. Yes, I am. I'm sorry I'm spying on you. That's okay. Everything happens for a reason. I'd like to come to your house and fuck you. Oh, okay. Let's hook up. He's in the middle of a divorce, and his ex-wife frames him for murder. Yeah, and then Julia Stiles kills herself, and she tells him, thank you for helping me find what I was supposed to do. Okay?
See, somewhere out there, there's some young man watching this thinking, oh, all I got to do is start peeping on chicks, and eventually one of them's going to fuck me. Which is not... Inmates, that is not how it goes down normally. There's like, you know, criminal trespassing charges and things like that. I'm just telling you, not that I have any experience on the matter, but that's not how it normally goes down.
Unless you pay for it.
That's right.
Yeah.
And in which case, there's no point in peeping. You just go in there and throw her a couple of 20s and get on with it.
I watched the new Truth or Dare.
Oh, how was that? I heard bad things.
You know what? I was so focused on the main chick of fucking bobblehead city. Directors, stop casting these kind of women in these movies, because all I could stare at was how big her head was compared to her 50-pound body. I was like, damn, she's going to tip over. And those fucking eyebrows were like 3 inches thick. And I'm like, I'm not into blondes, but the blonde chick is super hot compared to the brunette.
Oh.
Yeah, that's all I focused on.
Oh, yeah, I heard it wasn't very good.
It's stupid.
This is like the first big miss for Blumhouse, too.
Oh, yeah, a truth or dare game with a spirit that keeps following you.
Yeah.
And then I am happy to say I checked out 420 Massacre.
Oh, that one.
Loved it.
Really?
Oh, my. Okay. I'm really happy because whoever casted these girls used, like, everyday what girls look like.
Mm-hmm.
So we got skinny, big, everything, lesbians. It's all in there.
All right.
And the kill scenes, oh, my God, they were fantastic.
Awesome.
Like,
okay.
Being slit in the stomach and your guts are falling out. And
nice.
He's like grabbing his intestines, trying to stick them in. I'm like, this is amazing. It was really good.
Okay. Right,
yeah. On. It was good storyline.
Was it heavy on the weed humor? Because that's kind of
not really.
I was avoiding it. Okay.
No. There's one stoner chick, but you don't have to worry about her for too long.
All right.
But it was really good. Really good kill scenes.
Right on.
Sweet deal. I have to check that one out.
Yeah, and that's all I watched.
Buddy, anything?
Nope, not this time around.
Fucking jackass.
I know, there's not enough time.
There isn't.
Right?
Even if you only had one job, you probably wouldn't watch anything. Like, oh, God, I got a day off. I'm just going to sleep here on my air mattress in the middle of my living room. While there's a bunch of construction dudes walking in and out all the time. Just leave me the fuck alone.
Throw the covers over there. With all the construction workers, do you ever at one point, or you're like, where is my wife at?
What is that rhythmic thumping I hear from the next room? I'm sure that's just a hammer thing.
Yeah, because if there was one cute construction worker in that house, my husband might be like, well, where's my wife?
Yeah. That's funny. All righty. That's what we're looking at, inmates. How about some immersion therapy?
Yeah.
Immersion therapy.
What'd you guys think of Let Me In?
I liked it.
Not bad. I don't think it was as good as the original.
Yeah.
Let the Right One In. Have you guys seen Let the Right One In?
No.
Yeah.
Oh, you got to watch that one.
Okay.
It's, I mean, it's the same story, but it just goes a little bit
darker.
No, it's actually a lot brighter than, and I think that, I mean, I guess the major difference, you don't really get this in Let Me In, but the vampire, and I could be completely off base here, but if I'm not mistaken, the vampire is actually a little boy.
Mm-hmm.
And there's a very weird scene in Let the Right One In where its genitalia is exposed, and you can see that it at one point had a penis, but it was removed. So there's that. That never even gets brought into the equation. And probably not. Because seeing Chloe Grace Moretz with a severed cock is really going to fuck me up. That's probably fuck a lot of people up, really.
Yeah.
I don't think we need that. And it's kind of hard watching Richard Jenkins get burned alive. I feel like he's become like America's grandpa in a weird way.
Yeah.
He's always played like very lovable characters, you know. He was the dad in Step Brothers, which I thought he was great in.
He was also the like the good friend in The Shape of Water.
Oh, was
that
he?
Helps her get him? Yeah.
See what I mean? Mm-hmm. I don't want to see that guy get burned alive. Other than that, it wasn't a bad show.
No,
yeah, I liked it.
I think it's fine. You know, for an Americanization, you could do a lot worse.
Yeah.
Yeah, not bad. Inmates, check it out if you get a chance. If you've probably already seen it. That actually is a Hammer release. Did you guys know that?
No.
Yeah, it came out of Hammer Studios.
Wow.
Oh.
Yeah.
I like her, but She's so dorky looking, like out in public when, like, I just saw pictures of her a few days ago at Disneyland with her family.
Yeah.
And she has this weird thing about, like, camel toe. Like, every time I see a picture of her, I'm like, honey, what is up with your freaking pants?
She just has giant labias.
I guess so. I'm
She's
like
breathing in from down below.
Like, check yourself. I was trying to find the picture for you.
I am going to Google Chloe Grace Moretz camel toe. I'm sure it's going to take me to an entire website.
Right.
Excellent. Buddy, what do you have for us this week, my friend?
All right. Well, this week, let's check out 2018's Tremors, A Cold Day in Hell.
I had a feeling you were going to say that.
It's written by John Welpley, directed by Don Michael Paul, stars Jamie Kennedy, Tanya Van Grand, Jamie Lee Mooney, and Kiroshin Naidu.
All righty. Check that out, inmates. We'll do the same. Compare notes next week.
Yeah.
But right now, we got to educate Miss Monica.
Educating Miss Monica.
Oh, yes.
Monica, hit us with those clues one more time, if you could.
In this movie, you have the typical jock, the hot chick, and a bad boy in a leather jacket. They all try to help the old guy who stumbles onto the road. Unfortunately, he doesn't make it, and this town desperately needs a deep freeze to survive.
You're talking about The Blob, yeah. 86, I think, the remake? Kevin Dillon in there.
Yes.
Is it just me, or was he wearing a pirate shirt under the leather jacket the whole time?
He did. He had a
like
ruffle.
Yeah, he's wearing a pirate shirt.
Yeah.
It's like, very strange for the town bad boy to be rocking a pirate shirt.
Mm-hmm. 88?
Yeah.
Oh. Well,
there's a drinking
sense.
Game you can play with that, where every time Kevin Dillon lights a cigarette and then immediately throws it on the ground, you do a shot, you're hammered in no time.
Wow.
Because he does that quite a bit. Like at the beginning when he's trying to jump his bike,
there's one.
There's like three of them right there. It's pretty silly.
Huh. I never really paid attention.
Woo! Getting hammered to The Blob.
Sounds like a good time.
Does Cake Wolf have a blob shot? I'm sure he does.
I think he does.
It's probably some kind of a
one. Yeah,
I thought he did too.
Probably some kind of a Jello thing though. I'm not a big fan of Jello shots. Huh. I don't like alcohol squishing between my teeth.
I don't like how long it takes to make Jello.
Yeah.
So I don't bother.
I don't want to be drunk. I don't want to be making culinary things. You know what I mean? Mixing things like with Bunsen burners and stuff.
Yeah.
Right?
Yeah, I like the cocktails that you pour it and it's ready to
there
go.
There it is.
There, yeah.
Throw it in a little cup, down the hatch.
Light it on fire and drink
exactly.
it.
Exactly.
I don't even want to mess with that. I don't know what kind of hair gel I used that particular day. All right, Monica, what do you got for us this week?
Oh, I'm so scared to say the first line in this movie because it might give it all away.
Okay.
For whom the bell tolls. They started with a face-off and soon became buddies. Then two more came along for the ride. Honestly, there was no place to go. The dead have infected the world, even California. Guess number three wasn't that awesome.
Huh. Hmm. Okay.
All right, then.
Oh, God.
Think about that one. That's tricky. Number three, for whom the bell tolls. Some kind of a thing. All right, I'm going to think about that. I feel like there's like an Iron Maiden reference in there somehow. It has something to do with Iron Maiden.
No.
No?
No.
I don't know. I'm not buying it. All right. Think about that, inmates. I'm going to come up with something for you. I don't know. Probably wrong. How about a little werewolf athletics action for us this week?
Yeah.
Thank you.
The Company of Wolves.
I'm convinced that Reno is out to get me.
Oh, yeah?
Beautiful all week.
Mm-hmm.
Sunday morning, rain, cold wind, freezing. Mm-hmm. I have to run a half marathon.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Saturday or Monday morning, right back to being beautiful.
Yeah, bullshit.
Fuck you, Darian. That's what Reno is telling me. And I'm reading you loud and clear there, weather patterns. Fuck yourself. I ran it anyway, and I'm probably sick now, so I got that going for me. I think I did about 2.5 miles of that 13-mile stretch in the rain,
which is
miserable. I have some serious rashes because I got my clothes wet
and
some blisters to go with it. It's gnarly. Yeah. But despite all that, I still shaved about 19 minutes off my time.
Wow.
And 1.5 minutes off my average pace.
You speed up because it was raining?
Probably, yeah.
Oh, shit.
Probably. So there's that. I got that going for me, if nothing else.
Very cool.
Yeah.
What's next? I got a practice run this weekend. Mom's on the run the weekend after that, and then I go right into the Reno Tahoe Odyssey.
Yeah.
Oh, God. I think I'm down about between six and eight pounds.
Yeah.
So I got that going for me, too. I'm going to take my shirt off in public one of these days.
Oh, boy.
Yeah, get ready for that. That is going to happen.
It's going to happen.
Probably, I'm thinking early 2022 would be a good time for that to happen. After my roid rage bender.
Roid rage.
Just put on a pair of jeans when Street Vibrations comes and take your shirt off downtown.
Yeah, all the old guys.
Well, they'll be looking at you going, damn, I wish I was that dude right
there. They don't give a fuck, man. They got their guts, big old brain.
Yeah, and their women will be like, oh, look at that. That's the youngest guy I've seen here.
Probably. Even with all my gray hair, they'll be like, hey, that guy has a tattoo that's not from 1976.
Yeah.
I can actually kind of make out what it is for a minute. Right on, inmates. I think that's about going to do us for the week. As usual, like, comment, subscribe, wherever you found this. This episode of the Padded Room Podcast has, of course, been brought to you by T-Shirts Avenue. Go to tshirtsavenue.com, enter the coupon code PADDED at checkout. You get yourself a pretty kick-ass discount. You can also subscribe to our Patreon feed if you want some bonus content. I've got a Black Mirror show, an American Horror Story show, Buddy's got his smut show, and Cake Wolf from time to time does a Tales from the Dark Side show. All of that is there waiting for you on top of prize swag. We got shirts, coffee mugs, hats, anything else you want me to slap the Padded Room logo on, I can do and send to you. Other than that, I think that's about it. Join us next week for Ravenous from 2017 here in independent zombie low budget current. It's Kevin month. It was Kevin's idea. He's got a list for us here. We're just going to call it Kevin month.
That's perfect.
Because he's got a long winded name for this, but it's Kevin month. So that'll be up next here in Kevin month. In the meantime, you guys got anything else on the week?
Thanks, everybody.
Thank you very much for listening and for checking us out and, your correspondence and all that shit.
Mm-hmm.
For Buddy, Miss Monica, and the Padded Room Podcast, afraid visiting hours are over.
Bye.
Have a great week.